to break down the Islanders. Arthur Staple from Newsday joins us. So, Arthur, how you doing?
I'm good, Jason. How are you?
Good. Now, they're still called the New York Islanders. Do you think that will stay the same, or will they eventually be the Brooklyn Islanders?
No, I think New York Islanders has a little nicer, more historical ring to it. So they're going to be the New York Islanders for the foreseeable future, I would say.
Okay. And looking at the Islanders, currently now they sit third in their division. They've got they're tied with New Jersey in points, but they have three games in hand, and they're two games behind the New York Rangers, games played, and 3 points behind them. So they're right in the mix for home ice advantage. They're definitely not safe by any stretch because Pittsburgh's only a point behind them. So you look at the Islanders and you're Gar Snow, you're likely going to try to tweak and add something to your team. Ideally, what would you want to add?
You know, I think given how their assets are kind of deployed right now, obviously they don't have, they're missing a second-round draft pick, which is kind of like the main commodity for a rental this time of year. They don't really have a lot of mid-level prospects that teams might want to throw into a deal for a rental. So I think they're going to go more depth if they do anything. You know, maybe a guy who could be a 6-7 on defense to help shore up their third pair. You know, their top end scoring hasn't been fantastic this year, but I think they feel like they have enough balance to make up for it. And the way that John Tavares has been playing the last couple of weeks, I think they feel like maybe they don't need to get a guy to go play alongside him as a lot of people have called for, whether they need that bona fide top line wing that they seem to be missing right now. But I think if Tavares can play the way he's been playing, then it doesn't really matter who plays alongside him because they're going to get points and he's going to be able to produce. So I don't see anything besides really depth moves coming up to the trade deadline at the end of the month.
When you look at Tavares, who I'm looking at his points, he has 5 points in his last 4 games. Was he banged up early on? What was going wrong for him offensively?
You know, he got a really bad illness around Halloween. He missed an entire week with what they thought was just the flu, and I'm sure it just was. I think it caught him off guard, you know, coming so early in the year. He's not a guy who gets sick very much. You know, he's told me a bunch of times it was an incredible surprise to him how sick he was and how much weight he lost during that week. And he struggled for the, you know, probably a month after that to get his strength back and his agility and all the other things that, you know, make him an elite player. And I think after that, you know, getting into December and the early part of January, he was starting to play well, but just nothing was going in, and there was a lot of frustration that crept in. And I think finally he's had a couple goals in the last 4 games. He's had, I believe, 7 points in the last 7 games, and it's coincided with probably one of the better 7-game stretches the team has had all year. So, you know, I think he's becoming more of that forceful player. He had 9 shot attempts in the game last night in Washington. He didn't score, but he made about 3 or 4 great passes that weren't converted. So I think he's getting back to being John Tavares, and it was a strange situation at the beginning of the year that he wasn't himself, and now he's getting back to be more like himself, and I think it's showing.
Arthur Staple from Newsday in New York joins us. Johnny Boychuk, what's the return date?
Tomorrow.
Really?
Well, he'll be out there, you know, all but assured. Team like today at practice. He's had a bunch of practices this week. You know, I think he'll be out there tomorrow, and certainly if he gets through that well, he'll be out there at home on Sunday against Edmonton and going forward. It's they've been a .500 team without him since he got hurt on New Year's Eve, and obviously, he plays a big part in what they do defensively and can provide a little bit of offense from defensive side. So they definitely missed him. I'd say, you know, they've been playing well, like I said, the last couple of weeks without him, and that has really coincided with Travis Hamonic being back. But I think with having both of them in the lineup, it obviously makes a big difference.
Now, I am not a geograph whiz. Is Detroit or Montreal, how much closer is one to the other to Brooklyn?
I think Montreal might be a little closer.
Okay.
Probably similar flights, you know, something in the hour and 15 range to get back. So I don't think anybody's going to be too worn out after an afternoon game tomorrow flying back down there tomorrow night.
Which goaltender do you expect the Oilers to see on Sunday?
I would think it's going to be Jaro Halak. I think Thomas Greitz, who hasn't played much in the last month, will get the call tomorrow. Both of them have been very good, I'd say, over the course of the season. You know, Grace was really good early on, and Halak has come on and been very good lately. And You know, they've got a ton of games coming up. I think it's 33 in the next 66 or 67 days, so they're both going to get tons of work. And they've even got J.F. Berube got his first NHL win the other night. So having three goalies here is usually a problem, but I think it's pretty clear who's one and two, and they're definitely going to split these games this weekend. And I would guess, pure guess, that that Greiss goes tomorrow here in Detroit, and Halak plays at home on Sunday.
Now, speaking of the goaltending, we have an Islander fan in Edmonton who wanted me to ask you about Berube. What do you think the Islanders are going to do moving forward with their goaltending situation?
You know, I think they like this guy. You know, Garchnov scooped him off waivers at the beginning of the year when Halak had an injury that cost him most of the preseason and a bit of the beginning of the regular season. And they didn't really know what they had in Greiss, a guy who's been a journeyman, you know, played for a lot of different organizations. So they thought picking this guy up as insurance would help them at some point. And if they had to put him back on waivers and have him be claimed or trade him for a draft pick, then that would work. But he's shown a lot of good fundamentals, and I think his attitude is good, and I think they like the idea of keeping him. And he went for a conditioning stint after not playing, got hurt down in the AHL, missed about 6 weeks. Then he went back for another try at the conditioning stint when he got healthy and was playing great in the AHL. Came up, made 40 saves, and beat the Wild earlier this week. So I think they like what they have in him. They've got Chris Gibson, who they got from the Leafs in the Michael Grabner trade, is down in the minors, and a couple of guys they drafted. This is an organization that goaltending has been a problem for probably going on two decades now. So I think they want to have as much depth as possible, and they know that they'll probably lose Berube if they tried to put him on waivers. So I think they're going to go with the three, and Berube is going to have to be a guy who does a lot of off-ice work. If they can get him a game or two here and there, they will. But I think they're going to try to figure this out in the summer, whether it's keeping him and trading one of their other guys or keeping all three and figuring out something to do as they get through the offseason. Gressner is always pretty creative with the trades and the moves he tries to make to fix his roster in the offseason. And I think that's really when there's going to be a lot of moving parts to this organization that they're kind of pointing towards.
And Arthur, have you spoke to Travis Hamonic? He's been a true professional. You know, he asked about the trade quietly in September. It came public, I think it was November or so, that he's looking to be dealt for personal reasons. Do you expect that trade to happen in the offseason?
Yes. Yes, if it even happens then. You know, again, pure speculation on my part, but there's nobody in the Islanders organization that wants to see Travis Hamonic go. And like you said, he's been a true professional in just the way that he's handled himself, just like as always throughout his career, a guy who's always been very mature beyond his years. And just the way he's played, you know, when he missed a couple weeks with a broken foot, you know, a crack in his foot, their defense was pretty lost, and he came back, and just to see the way that he's been skating, I think that the last two games have probably been his two best games this year. He's moving around well. You know, he was one mark and Alex Ovechkin for most of the night on Thursday as a road team and did pretty well handling him until the very end. You know, they love what they have in this guy on and off the ice, and I think if they're able to have some success and get to the postseason and maybe win around, maybe there's a conversation to be had in the offseason that they can figure out a way this works without having to trade him. But I think for now, you know, he's going to be an Islander going through the end of this month unless something crazy happens. And I think the time to make those moves is in the offseason.
You watch Hamonic every game. What does he do best? I know he plays the most minutes. I was looking into who he plays against. You know, he's not a guy who brings a lot of offense. He's not on the power play with Letty or Boychuk. But what is it about his game that's so solid? And, you know, how did the Islanders get him at such a steal of a contract?
You know, I think it's a lot of his decision making. He, you know, earlier in his career, maybe that was the, you know, he was he had a lot of skill, but maybe his decision making wasn't quite as patient as he needed to be for an elite defenseman. And now I think he's starting to put all those pieces together with his skating ability and the physical side that he doesn't shy away from, and just making the smart moves, getting the puck out of his own zone, getting it moving in the transition game that they like to play, getting up in the play. I think he's started to excel in that the last couple of years in terms of joining the rush. He's not necessarily an offensive force, but just, you know, I think as any coach would say, you just get that fourth guy up in the rush and it creates a lot of havoc at the other end. So he knows when to go, when to stay back. His skating ability has improved. It's he's just kind of an all-around, safety net guy to have out there. And there's not a lot of those kind of guys at his age with his contract around him. And, you know, he's one of these guys, you know, I think every GM and every organization tries to identify character guys and keep them in their organization. Well, you know, I think Garth Snow has found one in him and identified him early on when they brought him up after only playing half a minor league season in his first pro year. And he came up, and I think he showed he could handle a lot, and they just gave him more and more responsibility through some lean years. And, you know, he learned a lot and said a lot of the right things and showed some emotion and knew when to keep it in check. And it's been fun as a guy who's covered him for a long time to see him mature and grow and kind of just handle all the things that he's handled in his life very well. And it's, you know, I think it's funny to say you'd be sad to see someone go. It can be such a strange business sometimes, but if they did trade him, it would be sad to see him go, I think, for all of his teammates, for the organization, for a lot of the fans on Long Island who he's interacted with over the years and even from our end.
Arthur, great stuff as always. Enjoy the busy weekend in Detroit and then Brooklyn, where you guys will get to see Connor McDavid for the first time.
I think it'll be exciting. Thanks, Jason.
Appreciate it.